creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky, they're all together ooky.
All right, well, you guys know the song by now if you've been paying attention. That's our Wild Things theme song, which means that it's time to start the Wild Things show with your host, Josh and Robert. Robert?
Hi, Josh.
You feeling okay?
Yeah, not too bad.
You look all right.
It's just the way the skin hangs on my face.
So what sort of wild thing do you think we should talk about this time? We've been discussing lots of different wild things in planning these shows, but which one would you like to talk about today?
How about alligators?
Alligators?
Yeah.
That's a cool wild thing.
It is.
And that's a wild thing that scares the crap out of a lot of people. I seem to see a theme in our shows with things that scare the crap out of people. What's up with that? Why are we doing...
It's creepy and it's crawly and a little bit kooky and all that stuff. Well, so, yeah, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I mean, we can talk about koala bears next week if that'll make you feel better.
We can't call them koala bears because koala bears aren't bears. They're marsupials. And not only
that's
that,
what they're called.
I don't
so
know
don't get
very
technical.
Much about koalas because they live in Australia and I live here in Florida. So... Koalas are not my
okay, then
line
we can talk
expertise.
About mythological things like unicorns and rainbows, if that'll make somebody feel
I
better
don't
out
think,
there that's sensitive.
I don't think rainbows are mythological, Robert. I saw one the other day.
It was a figment of your imagination.
Well, alligators are definitely not, but no. I tell you who had an overactive imagination about alligators, and I'm going to throw my poor wife under the bus for just a second here.
Uh-oh.
She grew up in Ohio. In Ohio... They don't have alligators.
Yeah.
That's one of the key identification marks to let you know that you're in Ohio, is if you look around and there's no alligators, you might be in Ohio.
Probably.
Never saw a gator when she was a kid. Came down here to vacation in Florida a couple of times and saw gators at the gator farms, where gators are scary and where they jump way up high out of the water to grab a chicken off a stick. So she thought that's what gators were like. And she also thought that the population density that you saw in the alligator farms was pretty much what a standard Florida swamp was like. So she moves down here and is expecting that alligators are pretty much going to eat her.
Nice.
So, of course, what do young women do when they move to Florida? They hang out in their backyards and they tan in the sun. They want to bake themselves and get nice and brown and
they
take advantage
like
of the sunshine state. Well, she didn't bake herself for long enough to turn lizard-like.
Right.
So I'm grateful for that.
Yep.
But she kept one eye open while she was out tanning because she was pretty sure that in her yard, which was... Probably, well, let's see, I know where that is. It's on Midway. It's probably a good half mile away from the nearest canal. She was certain that an alligator was going to come up and get her while she was laying in her chair in the backyard if she fell asleep.
Right. Okay.
No question. It was gonna happen.
Sure.
Now, does that sound like the alligators that you know and love?
Not even close.
but they're scary. They got big mouths and big teeth, and they bite things, and they drag it under the water, and they drown it, and they eat it, and it's terrifying. And they
it is.
They're going to get your dog.
They could, and they do in some cases.
But you have to be gator smart.
Yep.
And it doesn't take that much to be gator smart.
Don't walk up to the water's edge without paying super close attention. Don't let your dog go in the water or near the water. Those are just common sense things.
And especially if you're talking about a little dog.
A little dog.
You know?
It's literally like, it looks like popcorn.
Pretty much.
Well, marshmallow. Hey, hey.
Yeah. Those little white fluffy dogs, that's probably exactly what they think they're getting there.
And it's usually Ethel's fault that they think that.
Yes, it is. We are throwing Ethel farther under the bus than we threw my wife.
Right.
Just rolling her right all the way down to the other side of the wheels where she gets run over twice.
Yep.
Because Ethel... You gotta stop feeding these gators.
Yes. That's the biggest problem that we run into that makes them more dangerous than they really are is because they get habituated so easily. People feed them directly and indirectly. You know, you go to some of the parks and they're feeding the turtles and the ducks. Well, there's an alligator coming up, so they still feed him too.
Right. He's there. Why not?
You know, and then they just learn. So it's just, it's a very, very bad idea.
And look, I get it, that when they're little, they're cute, and you want to throw the marshmallows or the pieces of bread or the chunks of hot dog or whatever to the cute little baby alligator. When he's 18, 24 inches long, it's adorable. Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with you. And if that's as big as those animals got, I'd be right there alongside you feeding them. But they don't stop growing when they're 2 feet long or 3 feet long or 5 feet long or 8 feet long.
No, no, not at all. They grow till the day they die.
And when you feed that alligator when he's little, his little alligator pea brain remembers, okay, those upright pink things that don't have any claws or horns or tough skins or anything like that, the things...
beaks.
...that you could pretty much just eat because they're entirely edible, those things are an endless source of food.
Yes.
So when I see one of those things come down here near the water, that means I'm fixing to get fed.
Yep.
And if it's a hot dog, that's great. If it's your dog, that's great. If it's you, that's great. The alligator does not care.
No, not at all.
More than happy to eat whatever you're offering, from a chunk of marshmallow right on up to your leg.
And here's the biggest misconception about that that you hear on the news all the time. We had a trapper come in and remove the alligator and relocate it. Yeah,
right.
That's not true.
So they can remove and relocate alligators that are less than 4 feet long.
Uh-huh.
They can.
Can.
Most of the time, alligators less than 4 feet long get relocated. I'm doing air quotes. You can't see them because we're on the radio. Get relocated to an alligator farm where they are raised to a larger size and then processed for their skins and for the meat.
Yep.
Larger alligators don't survive that transition so well, so they just drag them off and they kill them.
Yep.
And then they process the hides and meat. So it's not like they're going to waste.
No.
But
they make it sound like they're relocating them to some little pretty little preserve way out in the middle of nowhere where they won't bother anybody.
We took the alligators to a farm upstate. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
You betcha.
Exactly.
And it really is a shame because, especially with some of these larger alligators, those animals have been around for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yes, you know, they've been around a long time in general.
In general, yeah, but I'm talking about the individual animal. That alligator lifespans, we're not really quite sure how long exactly these things can live, but the best guess right now is somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 years.
Really?
As an individual animal.
Now, that's impressive. I was not aware of that.
And it may be longer than that.
Really?
The upper end estimates are closer to 400.
Really?
And here we are, just treating them like a nuisance.
Yeah.
You know, you might have an animal, it's potentially possible, if they're right with those numbers. It's, what year is it, 2018?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I forget because I time travel a lot.
Yeah.
So you take that back to 1618, if they're right about their 400 year mark.
Right.
Man,
that's
what
terrifying.
A shame for that animal to have to get collected and harvested and put down just because somebody couldn't be bothered to walk their dog on the sidewalk instead of right there at the edge of the water.
Right. No, that's true. I had no idea that it'd be that long.
Now, you want to talk about that ancient lineage?
Yeah, sure.
How long these animals have been around?
Yes.
So, remember when we had dinosaurs?
Yep.
You remember that?
Yep.
Were you here for that?
No, Frank was.
Yeah. Never mind who Frank, because it's not important. But yes, he was here for that. Crocodilians, including the alligators, are in the archosaur lineage. Archosaurs include, in today's modern world, birds.
Right.
And they also include, in the ancient world, dinosaurs. We probably are more likely to think of alligators in terms of being kind of like a big overgrown lizard or a salamander.
Right.
And they're really not. They're not that closely related to currently living reptiles. They are much more closely related, from a genetic standpoint, to birds than they are to lizards, which is pretty crazy.
Very crazy.
And you're dealing with animals that have existed in more or less their current state.
Yeah, there's very little change to them.
Well, they don't need to evolve anymore.
Mm-mm.
They've pretty much hit perfection. The only thing that an alligator could really use is more cold tolerance.
Yes.
That's about it. Other than that, they are perfectly suited to their environment. So they haven't changed a whole lot in hundreds of millions of years.
scary.
Terrifying.
It's actually pretty cool.
So, you know, we have this idea that we humans, we're so advanced, we're so amazing, we rule the Earth. You know, and how long has our species been around the way we are now?
Not even close to that. A
couple hundred thousand years?
Maybe.
You know, when you get back there and you're looking at your caveman, great, great, super great, extra great, 15 times great grandpa, and he's sitting there bashing two rocks together and then bashing himself in the head with a rock just to see what it feels like because he's a caveman and he doesn't understand how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks around and there's an alligator that looks just exactly like it does today. And you go all the way back through our primate relatives, all the way back to rodents, back to when there weren't even mammals around yet, back to when you don't even have dinosaurs, you just have pre-dinosaur reptiles. And there's an alligator laying there on the bank looking just like he does today.
Pretty cool.
That's why I time travel, because it's awesome.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating.
I'll take you with me sometime.
I just find them as fossilized teeth, so I'll stick with that.
Yeah, and the Peace River here in Southwest Florida is a fantastic place to find those things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of alligator teeth in there, and it helps that, kind of like sharks, alligators shed their teeth on a regular basis.
Yes.
So you don't have to find an alligator skull to find alligator teeth.
Nope, not at all.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, yes it is.
So what else do you know about alligators that's cool and awesome and amazing?
Their egg-laying process and their parenting process.
They are maybe one of the most amazing wild mothers out there.
Yeah, I would say I would rank it right there in the top couple.
It's a pretty cool thing. But before we get to the point of having eggs hatch out, the eggs are going to have to be incubated. The eggs are going to have to be eggs for a little while.
Well, they build a little nest for them.
They build a little nest. They actually build a pretty big nest.
It's a pretty big nest, yeah. Pretty impressive nest. Not having opposing thumbs.
What's the biggest alligator nest that you've seen?
A solid 6 foot across by about probably 36, 40 inches deep.
Yeah, I was going to say about 6x4 is the biggest ones I've seen. And it's just a big pile of decaying vegetation.
Yep.
And you think, well, why? What's the reason for that? And the reason for that is because alligators need to actually add a little bit of heat to their eggs.
Yes.
Despite being here in subtropical Florida, you know, having a constant high temperature can be very helpful to the gators. And not just during the daytime, but also at the nighttime.
Right.
You're looking to incubate them kind of the way that a chicken would incubate her eggs. You
right.
need to keep them as close to constant as possible.
Absolutely.
Now, did you know that incubation temperature has an effect on the gender of the baby gators that hatch?
I did, but I don't know what that temperature is.
Well, I can't keep that kind of information in my head either, so I had to outsource that to my other brain, which is a phone that lives in my pocket. One day when I go time traveling, I'll pick one up for you. They're really cool from the
okay.
future.
Cool.
This says, and I'm going to assume that this is correct because I read this from four different locations. Incubation temperatures below 86 degrees from days 7 through 21 after laying results in all female alligators. If the temperature is above 93 consistently from days 7 to 21, then you're going to get all males. And
right.
if it's somewhere between that range, you're going to get a mix of genders. And the higher it is, the more males, the lower it is, the more females.
That's pretty fascinating.
That's crazy.
Nah, that's a different story. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Just have to remember it later for dinosaurs.
Well, all right. I'll try to help you remember the thing that I don't know what you need to remember for later.
Yeah. But it's still fascinating, and by them building that nest, they can actually kind of regulate the temperature a little bit because the composting material is going to create heat, and because it is so thick, it's going to actually kind of protect it from getting either A, overly hot if you happen to have an exceptionally warm spring, or exceptionally cold if you happen to have a really cold spring.
And it also is going to make it that much harder for something like a raccoon to dig in and steal those eggs.
Yes, it is.
Even though Mama Gator is very attentive, she can't be there 24/7 every day.
Right. But they are pretty surprising because they do guard their nest.
They do. And they're not just guarding it, but they're also waiting for those eggs to hatch.
Right.
Now, the other thing that I should point out to you in this sex determination based on temperature is it means that certain alligators have way, way more descendants than other alligators.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So nice. If you're looking at a nest that produces mostly males, those males can sire far more offspring than a female can have. So kind of like the way that a huge percentage of the world's human population is related to Genghis Khan, because Genghis Khan had many, many concubines, and his job was to try to get as many chicks pregnant as he possibly could, which is an interesting job that doesn't really exist in today's world.
No.
They try to avoid the pregnancy part.
Right.
So, but if you're producing a clutch that turns out to be mostly males, then you can have a huge influence on your genetics on that local population, because you can spread that out.
Never thought about that. That's pretty cool.
It's one of the reasons why you sometimes see areas where albino or leucistic alligators will pop up.
Right.
Because that one parent animal that happens to carry the gene can spread it far and wide if most of her offspring turn out to be male.
Absolutely.
Just that's a little tidbit that doesn't have anything to do with anything.
Yeah, it's still good knowledge to have. You don't really stop and think about some of that stuff.
Well, I thought so, or I wouldn't have mentioned it.
Right, I like it. Even the Genghis Khan part.
Well, and other people can look that up if they want to. This is not a show where we talk about Mongol warriors. This is the Wild Things show.
They were pretty wild.
We could do a Mongol warrior show later, I guess, if you want to.
They hunted with golden eagles.
Okay, so maybe we'll do a show on Mongol warriors if we get enough interest on that. What do you think?
Sounds cool.
Okay. Boy, I hope not. Jeez. I'm sitting here looking up Mongol warriors. I don't need none of that.
Right.
So, let's talk about alligator food, because that's one of the things that makes them so scary, is what they eat and how they eat it.
What they eat is pretty much anything they can get into their mouth. And even then, they only need to hold on to part of it in their mouth.
Well, the rest work later. That's very scary.
Yeah.
If you have something that only needs to grab a hold of your hand to pull you into the water.
Yes.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, and if you're that big, they're just going to take you down and pound you into the root system of a tree or under the bank and let you, tenderize.
Tenderize. Marinate in your own juices.
Nice.
Which is not really that necessary for people. Like I mentioned earlier, people are pretty soft to start with.
Right.
But
we're not. Fingers come off easier.
Yeah. We're not really the target prey.
No.
They're really going for mammals that come down to the water's edge.
Mammals and birds.
And, of course, big gators will also eat turtles.
Yes, that's true.
Which they don't need to marinate those. They just crack them like walnuts. And whatever comes out gets eaten.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and they do ingest a lot of the shell, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because they actually utilize some of that shell for two things. One is, you know, obviously the calcium part of it. But they also use part of that for helping in digesting and helping break down some of the other stuff that they've ingested, correct?
Just kinda. Like dinosaurs, just like birds.
Right.
Because it's, they're archosaurs.
Like a chicken gizzard.
Yep. I'm not going to go so far as to say that an alligator has a truly identifiable gizzard.
No.
I have not looked inside of an alligator to see if there was one. But
they do have vocal cords, though.
They can make some interesting noises without vocal cords.
Yes, they can.
The first time I ever saw a male gator booming, I had no idea what I was hearing.
I want to hear it because I've never heard it.
Really?
No.
Oh, you got to hear that one.
So do I.
It's so, the sound, it's so deep and low. It's like being in a movie theater where something like a spaceship is moving in and they're trying to get that really deep low rumble of something that's coming in. It takes subwoofers to reproduce that level of sound that those alligators are creating. And you can see videos of it online, and it was really popular in nature documentaries for a while, where they actually make the water dance around them just by the sound waves.
Pretty impressive.
It's pretty awesome.
Really, really awesome.
And
I want to see that sometime.
That is a display that males will do two things. Number one, it intimidates other smaller males. Alligators are very territorial, especially males, and they fight, especially during mating season.
Yes, they do.
So if you can intimidate the other gator to leave you alone, then you don't have to fight him. So hey, why not? Go for it. Intimidate away as many as you can. And then the ones that you can't intimidate away, then you'll have to fight. But it really reduces the amount of injury that you expose yourself to.
Right.
So you make that big, low, scary alligator noise, make the water dance, scares away the boys, and the girls just think it's awesome.
Yes.
Oh my God, did you see that water dance around him? That was so cool. I want him to fertilize my eggs.
Wow, that's a little shout out.
We don't have a female voice on the show. I did the best I could.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you going to quit the show?
No. Okay. Just right. Please don't do that again.
Okay, I won't.
Nice.
So what alligators eat is going to depend on their size. Mm-hmm. When you start out as a little alligator, you can't go around dragging deer and pigs into the water. That's just not going to work.
No. But they do eat a lot of little amphibians, you know, toads, frogs, lizards, grasshoppers. I mean, small stuff.
Yeah.
They start off small, like anything else.
Well, everything has to. And dragonflies, a lot of dragonflies.
Yeah.
Both as adults that perch near the water and dragonfly larvae.
Yeah, I can see all that. Absolutely. So, you know, and then as they grow older, they start to consume larger critters, both larger fish, shorebirds, any type of rodent that comes down along the water, whether it's a rat, a raccoon, an otter.
All of that stuff.
Pretty much.
Is at risk of getting chomped by a gator.
Yes.
But what's most at risk of getting chomped by a gator? What animal is more likely to be eaten by an alligator than any other animal?
I'm going to go with a feral hog.
Oh, that's a good guess, but it's not right.
Okay.
The answer is an alligator.
Yeah, another alligator.
You knew that. Mm-hmm. It's a trick question. Yeah. I threw you for a loop.
I tossed you
a curveball.
Yes, you did.
I feel bad about it.
It's all right. It was a swing and a miss.
I don't feel bad.
It's all good.
Not at all.
We're going to take you an extra 5 seconds to fall asleep tonight.
Not even close. Alligators are self-limiting.
Yes.
In that when you have alligators in an area, hatchling alligators usually don't survive very well because they get eaten by the bigger alligators.
Yes, they do.
So if big alligators have been taken out of an area, many more hatchlings will survive. And that helps to explain how these animals came back from near extinction in the 1960s to the numbers that we have today, which are in the millions.
Yeah, yeah, pretty astronomical.
You have an animal that can produce 40, 50 babies at a time. And if you don't have a lot of adult alligators around, then probably a solid 30 to 40% of those little alligators will survive at least to the subadult stage.
Right.
Which is amazing when you look at other animals.
Especially other animals that lay that many eggs also.
Right. I mean, look at something like sea turtles.
Yeah.
Sea turtles will lay a clutch of, well, over the course of a season, a sea turtle might lay 150 eggs.
Right.
And of those 150 eggs, the chances of one surviving to adulthood are probably about 1 in 20.
That's pretty small.
It's pretty crazy. These animals don't reproduce in huge numbers. You know, they don't add to their population very quickly. But alligators, totally different situation. They can boost their numbers very rapidly, and it's one reason why the hunting of them is never really going to severely impact their populations. But personally, I still think it's a shame, because most people want to go hunt a big alligator.
Yes, they do.
And those gators have lived a long, long time.
And it's where they hunt them, too.
Yeah, out in the swamp where those alligators aren't going to hurt anything. You know, they're never going to run into serious conflict with people. The alligators that need to be hunted are the ones that got fed the marshmallows when they were little.
Yeah, marshmallows or golf courses.
Ethel.
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
Exactly.
So
she's not hurt. She's not fazed by it. She still gets to watch them.
No.
While his grandfather gets hauled away somewhere
else. She doesn't care a bit. It doesn't bother her in the least. Listen, we've talked a lot about alligators. There's more things that we could say, but we kind of don't have a lot of time to say it.
It's all good.
So
a lot of good knowledge here. I even learned a couple things. I like it.
Well, that's good. That's the best kind of show, and I hope other people learned a couple of things about these wild things that we love so much. Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
thing, I think I love you. But I wanna know for sure. Come on and hold me tight.